There are a lot of different ways that people think that they have to pray. And I'm not going to show you. This is not the way that you have to pray. This is a way to learn to pray. Okay? I know plenty of people who have such a prayer life that just blows me away. If you ever want to have a good friend, find somebody that knows God. Find somebody that walks with God. Find somebody who knows how to pray. Somebody who has a lot of money is not the answer to your problems. And usually, if you learn how to pray, it's been in times of the darkest times of your life, and you had to learn to pray. And the best way to learn is here in the Scriptures, praying with the Scriptures. So John chapter 15 and verse 7, watch the Bible as it tells us something. If ye abide in me. Now to abide, now I'm already in Christ. If any man be in Christ, the Bible says. I got into Jesus Christ the day I got born again. And so I'm already in there. But to abide in there, to actually, Jesus is asking us to spend time with Him. If you abide in me, if you love to stay with me, if you love to talk to me, to cast your cares upon me, if you abide in me, and look at the rest of the verse, and my words abide in you. How many have a Bible? You have a Bible, amen? All right. But a lot of times you even read the Bible, but it doesn't stay with you. So the Lord Jesus invites us to spend time with Him and invites us to let His Word spend time with us. That's why we meditate. That's why we learn to memorize and meditate on the Scripture. He says, if these two things are active, then you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So our prayer life ought to be related to two ongoing events. One, me spending time with Jesus and spending time in His Word. You can read the Bible while you're praying. You can pray while your eyes are open. Yeah, if you ever are driving and praying, please pray with your eyes open. Okay? But yes, you can pray with your eyes open. It's humbling when you close your eyes. You're closing your eyes to distractions. But the Word of God is meant to be there to be a guide and a help. Let me say it this way, all right? I preach through the Scriptures. Sometimes I preach a whole chapter. Sometimes I preach just a few verses. But Scripture is my guide for preaching. Would you hope that is true? That's the person who stands behind this pulpit is not standing up speaking, hopefully, should not be speaking his opinions. They are from the Bible. Scripture is my guide for preaching. It is God's words. It's not anybody else's style. It's me trying to preach what Jesus Christ would say if He were here. Amen? I let the Scriptures tell me what I need to tell you, correct? All right? Somebody says, I've actually had people come up and says, were you in my house last night? Because what I said was exactly what they were talking about. Or arguing about, by the way. And I go, no. But when I'm reading the Bible, when I'm praying, when I'm preparing, I'm trying to get what Jesus would say if He were here. And I let this book tell me what to preach. It actually tells me what I cannot say to you. I know I want to go over and, you know, say such a thing. And the Lord says, no, say this. Somebody says, why didn't you mention such and such? Because it wasn't in that portion of Scripture. Well, why did you say this? Because that was what Jesus said. So the Bible constrains, confines, it limits the preacher, doesn't it? Thank God. All right? It'll work for praying as well. I preach through the Bible, and I ought to learn how to pray through the Bible. The Bible will tell me what I can ask for and what I shouldn't ask for. The Bible will tell me who my attention is to be upon. Whom have I in heaven but thee? Unto thee shall all flesh come, not to Mary. Amen? The Bible tells me who to pray to. The Bible tells me how much I can ask Him for. What is the limit that I can ask God for? There is no limit. Woo! That encourages me. So, The Bible will guide your thinking and your confidence while you're praying. How many of you have ever sat down to pray and you just couldn't get started? Amen? Open your Bible. That'll help you get started. I want to help you tonight to use your Bible in praying. Most people throughout history have not had access to a complete Bible. They haven't had what you hold in your hand. And yet they learned to take Scripture and let it not only guide, but fuel their prayer life. I think it will help you. Every time you read your Bible, it'll help you to go, ooh, I could be praying while I'm reading. So, let's work through this thing. Praying through the Scripture. Just some thoughts, and we're going to get some examples, and maybe it will help you, especially in your prayer life. First of all, what's the first thing you should do if you're going to pray through the Bible? You've got to open your Bible. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. I am all about mechanics. Not that I'm mechanical, meaning that I don't know how to fix a car. You know. But mechanics means the things that you do in sequence. You got to do that. You got to have a schedule. You got to get up. You got to do your routine. That's the mechanical things that we do, because when you don't have that, you'll never get anything accomplished. All right? When it comes to praying, it's not bad to have some mechanics, some things that you say, I'm going to bring my Bible with me. I'm going to get my prayer list with me. I'm going to write down something. That's all very important, very helpful. Look at 2 Corinthians, and I'll ask you to read for me. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. I will start with Brother Andrew on the front here. 3:18. Watch this verse. Wow. Now, I like this. We all, with an open face, beholding. Now, open face means not like they have over Muslims where they try to veil the face. No. There is no veiling. There's no hiding. There's no protecting who you really are. With an open face, with realness, we are beholding in a glass. Who are you beholding? No. The glory of the Lord. Where are you going to find the glory? You're going to find it in a statue? You're going to find it in nature? Where do you find the glory of the Lord? Right in the Word of God. We behold the glory of the Lord, and as we behold it, we are changed. So the Bible is instrumental in changing us. Colossians 3:16 now. And Jennifer, Colossians 3 and verse 16. All right, that's the Word of Christ, but it works the same, okay? So that's the Word of Christ, the Word, it's, you said the Word of God, that's okay. It's the same thing. But the point is, let the Word of Christ dwell, abide in you, how? Richly, how abundantly. Okay, now here's my thoughts, okay? First of all, now the Bible is so amazing, because I have my prayer life and I have my Bible reading time. You know, those are important for the Christian. You know that. I know we want miracles. I know we want great things to happen to us. But God says, I want you to do some little things. So, that time of prayer, that time of Bible. If my prayer time is lacking, if I just don't have any zeal in prayer time, bring the Bible into it. That's what I'm saying. If your Bible reading time just doesn't have any zing, spend some time in prayer. That will liven it. That's the point. They go together. Let the Word of Christ dwelling you richly. Open right where you're reading your Bible through. I hope you are reading your Bible through. Nod your head, even if you're lying. You are reading your Bible through. I'm in two different places. I don't have my reading Bible with me. This is my preaching Bible. I am in the end of Exodus, and I'm in 2 John. Okay, I'm reading through the New Testament. At the same time, I'm reading the Old Testament. God gave me two eyes so I could read them both simultaneously. Okay, but as I'm reading through that, okay, that's where you start. Now, maybe you say, I haven't started. Good. If you're really struggling with prayer, start in Psalms. You remember, Psalms was from David's prayer time. It was him writing down how he felt and what he said as he prayed to God. So you could start there. Now, not all Psalms will turn out to be easy to pray through. Let me just wake you up and go, they're not all sweet and loving and la, la, la. Sometimes it's really rough. But get the Word of God in you richly. That's the point. Millions upon millions of people pray through the rosary, don't they? Over in India, up in China, they use the same kind of beads. They don't call them rosary beads, but they are called prayer beads. The Buddhists have prayer wheels, and they go through and they pray through that. We don't need that. We pray through the Scriptures. All right? Now, second thing. So you got your Bible open. All right? Maybe you're at your bedside. I had a preacher call it this. He said, you need to get to your blessing place. I thought that was pretty funny. I thought that was very good. The place where you get God's blessing. That's your prayer time. Listen, everybody pay attention. Open your Bible while you're praying. Secondly, look for three things. Look for three things in every passage. First of all, Romans chapter 9 and verse 4, Eric. Romans 9, 4. Look for promises. So the Israelites, when you're reading in the Old Testament about the Israelites, you're reading about the promises of God that were given to them, weren't you? So, you say, oh, I don't like reading the Old Testament. You're going to miss a lot of promises. The promises were given to them. You can learn a lot from their promises. You need to start noticing the promises. Matthew 7, 3, Allison, please. You also need to notice rebukes in the Bible. Matthew 7 and verse 3. Wow. Hey, there's a good verse that I need to consider the thing stuck in my eye before I try to fix somebody else's eyeball. Amen? All right, so there are rebukes in the Bible. Don't just skip over them. Don't ignore them. The greatest thing you've got is the work of the Holy Spirit as you read the Bible. Would you rather the Holy Spirit beat you or a police officer? I'd rather the Holy Spirit because He loves me. Amen? God, I don't. Amen. All right. Third, challenges. You need to find and look for admonitions. 1 Corinthians and Georgina chapter 10 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. By the way, these are the revealed will of God. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but think about how many of you wish you knew God's perfect will. Well, I may not be able to tell you God's perfect will. Nobody may be able to tell you that. But you can know His revealed will. That's His Bible. The Bible tells us what God expects of me, bar none. It's what we all should be doing. So let's find out what that is. 1 Corinthians 10, 11 there, Georgina. Okay. All the things that happened unto them in the Old Testament happened for examples, or for us to learn from without having to experience. That's why it's end sample, not an end example. But for our end sample, and they're written for our admonition. Now here's the point. An admonition is our challenge. It's for us to feel, wow, when I'm reading what I don't want to be like. That's the challenge. And then there are times where I read and I go, that's what I want to do. That's a challenge. So when you're reading the Bible, it will challenge you, and all of a sudden you'll have a reason to pray. As you're reading, you will see promises, and you'll say, Lord, I'm going to claim that promise. Lord, boy, I'm going to humble myself, get that right. That rebuke is against me. The challenge, Lord, I want to live that way. I'll give you an example. I'll give you a couple of examples. Leviticus 19:2. Don't go there. Be ye holy. For I am holy. What is that? Somebody tell me. What is that? Is it a promise? No. It's Leviticus 19:2. Is that a promise, a rebuke, or a challenge? It's a challenge. That's God's will for me. All right. What about this one? Ephesians 5. Walk worthy of the vocation. We'd say Christianity, wherewith you are called. What is that? That's another challenge. How about 1 Peter 5, verse 6 and 7? Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Yea, all of ye be clothed with humility and subject one to another. What is that? It's a promise, it's a rebuke, and a challenge altogether. How about this one? Proverbs 11:30. He that winneth souls is wise. And I didn't quote it. I didn't finish it. How does the rest of the verse go about the tree of life? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. That's a promise. I can have fruit. I can win souls. But it's a rebuke if I'm not winning souls. Do you see how it looks? You read that verse, don't skip it. You go, I'm not winning soul. Rebuke. Promise. But evidently, I can. And it also is a challenge. I need to be. You see how it, when we don't read our Bibles, we lose the focus of our prayer life. Let me move on. I got lots of stuff. So, third thing. Confess anything that is out of the way in your heart. Call repentance. Here's the point. Are you ready? Don't raise your hand. But how many of you have ever read your Bible or spent a lot of time in prayer thinking of someone else? You've never done that, have you? You. Oh, so-and-so. They need that verse. You just wasted your time. If you're constantly going, where's my husband when I'm reading this? You're wasting your time. If you're going to pray, you've got to first deal with who? You. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not. So I've got to get the iniquity that's in my heart out if I want to be heard. Amen? So the third thing, I've opened up my Bible, I've started to read. Wham! Something says, that's you, bud. Humble yourself. Say, Lord, I confess. I agree. I repent. Amen? Right off the bat. Then fourthly, it gets even better. Personalize it. Personalize it. Put your name into every verse. How many of you got saved with this verse? For God so loved Craig Ledbetter that He gave His only begotten Son, that if Craig Ledbetter believeth on Him, he should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16, John Cranford showed me that whosoever had my name in it. Amen? Don't stop reading the Bible that way. Read the Bible, you put your name into everything. I'll give you an example of it in just a few minutes. As you read about Job, put your feet into his shoes and experience his frustration, experience it and pray through it just like he did. Next, claim God's promise. You know, I can't tell you, there is a promise probably in every one of four verses in the Bible. I think a quarter of the Bible, if you read it, ought to encourage you. Now, some of the Bible teaches you. Some of the Bible rebukes you, amen. But some of the Bible promises and says, this is what I'm trying to make of you. So, as you read, there ought to be something you go, I'm going to claim that. That's my answer that I'm going to ask God for and I'm going to believe God for. This will come clear in just a few minutes. Last, are you ready? Take a moment and praise God. I think we pray and we forget to praise. Nod your head. You know, if you are reading the truth, if you're reading the words of Almighty God, and if He's speaking to you, I mean, just
Come in, Craig. Come in, Craig. Can you hear me, Craig?
He's talking to me.
I'm here, Lord.
Wouldn't you appreciate it that he's spending time talking to you? So as you pray and as you work through these things, the great challenge is to finish with, thank you, Lord. I give you an example. All right, you ready? When you pray a Bible passage, like I'm going to show you, it allows you to have a moment of real worship. And it'll remind you of what kind of heart you're supposed to have. For example, let's go to Psalm 48. You ready? Psalm 48. Brother Dan, if you will read Psalm 48, verses 1 and then 9 and 10.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and the spirit of our God, the mountains of his holiness.
Now down to 9 and 10.
We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy comfort. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth.
You know, when you read that, I mean, I just wrote this down. When you read that, you ought to be able to think, Lord, you are awesome. Look at verse 1. Look at the word. Great is the Lord. You ever thought something was great? You ever thought something was just awesome? You thought something was just fantastic? Well, our God is. Did you ever tell him he was great? So when you're reading the Bible, stop and go, Lord, you're great and you are worthy of my praise. So I praise you. Just because you love a sinner like me. As you read, you can stop and pray. It will transform your time with God. Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. In verse 22. Myra. Isaiah 45, 22. Okay, if you just read that, what could you praise God for from that verse? If you personalized it, there's a promise in there, and you can praise him. What could it be? Tell me what's the promise in that verse. To be saved, that's the promise? Can you put your name in there? It's as if God is saying, hey, Myra, look unto me and be saved. And then what could you be thankful for? Woo! You got it! It's not that hard, but it takes us to think, go, Lord, I've never read the Bible like that. Hey, I've never prayed like that. You see how they go hand in hand? I'll show you another one. Don't you just love it when I say that? Look at John 8, 11. Brother Dennis, John 8 and verse 11. Now, these are bits and pieces of entire chapters, maybe, but this is something that just jumps out. John 8 and verse 11. Okay, personalize the scripture. You know the context. Jesus asks the woman caught in adultery, sin, caught, worthy of death. The wages of sin is death, isn't it? Personalize it. Have you ever been there? Did the Holy Spirit ever grip you and show you of sin? All right. So you could put, instead of it being a woman, you could put Dennis in there, couldn't you? All right. Can you claim a promise? What's the promise in the verse? He wants to what? Forgive. Now, he doesn't want us to go back into sin. Yes, sir. That's right. Oh, my goodness. It's a promise that is a threat. but it is to put the fear of God in us. Yes, sir. That's right. Nope. But don't lose sight of what I'm showing you here where Jesus says, neither do I condemn thee. I came to die for you, woman. I came. So what could you praise God about if you put your feet in her shoes at that moment and you claim the promise that God can forgive? What can you praise God for if you're reading that passage? All right? If you put your feet into her shoes and experience what Jesus has promised her and offered her, what has He offered her? Yes. So if you put your feet in her shoes and it's all of a sudden about you, what did Jesus offer you? So what can you take a moment and right there as you read that, as the penny drops, what could you thank God for? And that He willingly does it. When He could have picked up the stone and He could have judged her. He was the only one worthy of judging. He's the only perfect judge, isn't He? And yet He chose to forgive. I mean, I read something like that, and instead of going, oh, that woman, she should have been stoned, I think, I'm glad for forgiveness. I'm glad for mercy. Amen? And I thank God He forgave instead of condemned. Amen? You see what I'm trying to get us to read the Bible and go, if I put my feet in that shoes, I just tell you, praise God, I'm forgiven. Yes, sir, one more. That's right. That's right. Yeah, there's far too much criticalness among people. Really, they're trying to transfer their own guilt onto other people. Believe me, we're all guilty. But according to that verse, as I'm showing you, there's a great thing to praise God for, that God has forgiven me. Let me show you something. Look at Luke 9:16. Susan, you want to try to read this? If you could find Luke, it was a few pages back before John. You already closed it. Luke chapter 9 and verse 16. That's okay. All right. Do you remember this story? Jesus has got 5,000 hungry people, and what does He have in His hand? What food is given to Jesus? Actually, 5 loaves and 2 fish, yes. But it was a pitiful amount, wasn't it? He did, but before He ever multiplied it, what did He do? He thanked God for it. You know, next time that you read something like this, you ought to stop and go, Lord, I don't have much, but I'm going to be thankful, because God doesn't need much. God has never needed much. And we've got to look around and go, I don't have much, but I am thankful. You see, what I'm trying to get you to do is, as you read, think about, that's me. I want to be just like that. I want to thank God. If somebody hands me pitiful amount of money or pitiful amount of supply, what do we normally do? I'm starving. What do we normally do? We'd complain. Jesus never complained, did He? He teaches us to thank God even for the small things. I could go on. But I do want to do one more. Galatians 2:20. Dermot, would you read Galatians to the right, 2 and verse 20? This is one of those verses that really are, that you can easily personalize. Galatians 2:20. Okay. There's a lot in that verse. All right. If you I mean, you can't help but personalize that verse. How many times he says, I, me, that's you talking now. I am crucified with Christ. All right? When he died, and when I look into him and I trust him, I died too. The old me, when I got saved, the old me dropped dead. Something happened where his death transferred now to me. Nevertheless, I live. So are you alive, Dermot? Okay, but you're still alive. Yet not you now. Who's living in you? If you're saved, who lives inside of you? According to that verse, Christ liveth in me. What can you thank God for? Amen. And that he lives in somebody like you. I mean, I think Jesus would only want to live in practically perfect people. But Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, this is the best part. The life which I live by the faith of the Son of God, not even my own faith, who loved me. I mean, I can't help, but every time I read that, I just stop and I say, thank God that Jesus loves even me. You see what you're doing? Now, maybe it doesn't mean anything to you. It helps my prayer life. I think it'll help your prayer life where you thank Him for loving you. As you read, stop and say, thank you. How many like a one-sided conversation? How many love it when you have a one-sided conversation, especially when it's not you talking? It's no fun, is it? God has that too often. God would like a communication where you're reading, you're listening, and you're praising back. You're praying back. You're claiming the promises of God. All right, let's work this. Because once you've done that, you have prayed through a portion of Scripture. So, let's work this together. You ready? Here's the mechanics of it. As you read your Bible, let's just pick a scripture. Let's go to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. All right. The whole chapter is fantastic. But just for time, because I've got a few more scriptures to look at and apply to this formula, but I'm going to jump down to verse 14. I think I've showed you this before, but I want you to see something. Look at Psalm 91 in verse 14. We've read that. We're going to ask ourselves, we're just going to read four verses. We're going to ask ourselves, are there any promises? Are there any rebukes? Are there any challenges? Then we're going to accept the rebuke and repent. Then we're going to personalize it and say, this is me. Then we're going to ask or claim God's written promise that we're going to find here. And then we're going to praise God and be thankful. Okay, let's try it here. You ready? And start in verse 14. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. This is God talking. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now, are there any promises in those scriptures? There's probably at least five or six. Name one of them. Somebody raise your hand. What one promise is in there? Yes, Myra. Yes. Wow. Okay. Are there any rebukes in there? Not really, not in that one. There are in some previous verses, but for time, we're just looking at this one part. Are there any challenges? What is the verse challenging me to do? Eric, what do you think? Okay, no, the trouble's with us always. Yes, ma'am? Wow. My challenge is to take my love that I normally easily give to something else, and set it on him. That's one challenge. That's excellent. Somebody else see another challenge. Yes, sir. To pray. Because he has prayed. Because he calls upon me. That's my challenge. Wow, when I'm in trouble, what's the first thing I do? Cry. No. Complain. No. I need to pray. All right. Is there anything where I can accept rebuke and repent in those verses? Yeah. You read along and you go, man, I haven't prayed. I've been loving the world. I've been loving myself. I haven't set my love. That's you know, if you want God to hear you, you need to have your heart right. Amen? So as you're reading, say, Lord, I'm not living up to that, but I want to. That's repentance. Now, can we personalize it? Let me show you how to personalize it. Well, let me do it this way. Let's see, who could I... I'll go ahead and ask our next reader. Judith, read verse... This may be a little bit hard, but you're up to it. Put your name in there. Now, there's God talking, and then there is the potential that you could be talking back. I don't know if you know... Do you want me to help you? You want me to do it? You want me to show you how to do it? You want to try? Go ahead. Give it a try. Put your name in there. Starting in verse 14. Reverse it. This is God talking. Yes, it's God talking. So put your name in the He. Watch. Yes. Her love. Judith on high. She. Have you known his name? Yes, you have. Because he knows my name. Go ahead, verse 13. I said 15 now, sorry. Who's going to honor somebody who's leaning on Jesus? Jesus will. He says, I'll honor you. Isn't that good? All of a sudden you're reading, you're going, ha, 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 he wrote about me. One more verse, verse 16. Now, it takes a little work, doesn't it? Does it take a little work? Now, not all Scripture is like that, but a lot of it is if we take the time and we personalize it. Okay, are there any promises in those verses? We talked about them. Are there any promises in there? Can you write then, as you read that, tell me what you would ask God for from those Scriptures? Okay, if you're not saved, you could ask for salvation. God would show you His salvation if you asked for it. Could, especially when you are already in times of trouble. Say, Lord, please go with me. Wow. Well, He promises He will honor, so you can say, Lord, I look forward to that honor. Yeah. A long way. Anybody see anything else you can ask God for in that verse? Sorry? Satisfaction? Okay. I like that. He will satisfy. How about you could ask for, Lord, help my heart to get right so I stay in love with you. It's very convicting. All that stuff's working together. Then what could you praise God for from those Scriptures? Saving him. Amen. I think it's longer. I think it's eternal life. Amen. Okay, so here's the point. When you are reading your Bible while you're praying, will you read a lot? Will you read through chapters? No. Your goal when you're reading your Bible, when you're praying, your goal, if you're going to pray and you're going to help, use your Bible to help you pray, you're not going to read a lot. You just read four verses, and you could be reading and praying and praising and examining. You could be there for a half hour just on four verses, couldn't you? So it's not that you have to read lots of Bible. in order to pray. You just need to be paying attention, and it will open your eyes and your heart, and you'll pray a lot better. It does with me, okay? All right, so Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Who can quote that? Dina. Okay. Are there any promises just in those two verses? Excellent. So he'll show you his will. He'll get you through. Amen. Are there any rebukes? Think about it. Quote the verse again, just verse 5. And so what's the rebuke in there? Yes, the rebuke is, Ledbetter, how much have you been thinking this through and trying to figure it out? All right. Are there any challenges in just those two verses? Yes. And? Yes. We would say to honor him. To acknowledge him is to give him the glory, acknowledge him as the leader in charge. Amen. So my challenge is to keep trusting. Amen. Quit fighting. Quit trying to figure it out. And just follow him as he leads me down the path. Okay, so is there any rebuke in that verse that I need to get right with if I'm reading along sometimes? And I usually live by my thinking and not by God's thinking, do I? So now, can you put that? Tell me how you would put those verses with your name in them. Amen. And that becomes a prayer where you say, Lord, please help me to trust in you with all my heart. No longer lean on my own understanding, my own feelings, my own flesh. Help me so that I always acknowledge you, so that I can see you direct my path. All of a sudden, that verse has helped me pray, hasn't it? Just two verses. All right. Jonah, you think there's anything in Jonah that could help you find some promises, some rebukes, some challenges? Come on. What would be a promise in the book of Jonah? Okay, that's one. Good. Anybody see anything else in Jonah? Tony? Look what he can do when you just do it his way. Amen? Look, the promise is that an entire pagan nation can get saved if we just do what he says. Amen? That's the promise. Are there any rebukes in Jonah? Okay. That's right. I find in the book of Jonah about 9 bad attitudes. Amen? I bet you don't notice those. But you will next time you read Jonah, where you start realizing, Lord, that's me, isn't it? I'm just like Jonah. When you tell me to do something, I go the other way. Wow. Okay, and that's when you're reading the book of Jonah, and I'm telling you, every fourth verse you will stop and you say, Lord, That's me. I'm so sorry. All of a sudden, the book, the Bible, guides your prayer. How about, Better stole this chapter this morning from me, but he read through Psalm 103, didn't he? Bless the Lord, O his soul. Is that what it says? My soul. You know what I've asked myself when I read Psalm 103? Am I blessing God? You know, God has blessed me. I could spend all day telling you about all the blessings of God. I'd like to be a blessing to God. Bless the Lord, Craig Ledbetter. Bless him with all that is in me. And then I just start looking at all the things he's done for me. And I want to do something for him. Deuteronomy 7, I don't have time. Deuteronomy 7 says, the Lord did not set his love upon you because you were of more number than other nations, but because the Lord loved you. The Lord loved me because he just loved me. Are there any promises in there? Yeah, that I have. The promise is that I will always experience the unconditional love of God. The rebuke is that I'm not keeping myself in the love of God. I'm not. It's like being in the shower. You can be out of the shower. The shower's going. You're there and you're all soaped up, but it's drying because you're not under the shower. And you could be missing the benefit of the love of God because all you are is stuck on yourself. Challenge. The challenge is to just sit and revel in the fact that I didn't have to be good enough to receive His love, and I still don't have to be good enough. All right, so all of these things, each time you read the Bible, Psalm 116, I don't have time, I want to go through 2 Kings 19. Who knows what happens in 2 Kings 19? Anybody know? Who knows what happened in 2 Samuel 12, 1? 2 Kings 19 is a guy named Hezekiah. But 2 Samuel chapter 12. If you know anything about chapter 11, you got a man named David looking out on the rooftop, and what does he see? He's not bird watching. Okay? 2 Samuel chapter 12, Nathan meets him. And what does Nathan say to David? Thou art the man. There's sometimes you need to read the Bible and turn around and go, I'm the guy. I'm the problem. I'm at fault. That's how you read the Bible. Don't go, yeah, David, you're the bad guy. It's not about David anymore. When God put it into the Bible, it's not about David. It's about you and me. And He will help you stop in your tracks and go, God, David should have died. And all the sins that we've done, so should we. And when Nathan pointed out and said, you're the man, David said, you're right. And you and I, as we read our Bible, make it so that it counts. That you read it so it's like, Lord, I mean, you may, for the next hour, you may find yourself just weeping and confessing and saying, Lord, I am, and I'm sorry. Okay. Open your Bible. Look for three things. Promises, rebukes, and challenges, admonitions. Look for the will of God in that verse. Confess anything that's as you reading that just jumps out at you, that's wrong in your heart, personalize the Scripture. Find a promise somewhere of victory, of strength, of rest, of the Holy Spirit in your verses, and then praise God. Final thoughts. Three final thoughts. This method will get you into the habit of praying every time you're reading your Bible. Now, I'm trying to get you to take your Bible with you when you pray, okay? There are two things you need when you pray. A prayer list and a prayer book. Amen? And we only have one prayer book. It's the Bible. Amen? Take that with you. And so, it will now, if you are getting in the habit of taking your Bible with you and saying, Lord, I don't even know how to start. Start in Psalms. Start in Psalm 1. Doesn't matter. Start reading through your Psalms. Some of the Psalms just won't make sense. Go to the next Psalm and all of a sudden it'll jump out at you. But then later, when you are reading your Bible, maybe you're eating your cornflakes or whatever, and you're reading your Bible, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will say, you need to stop there and you need to pray. And you'll start praying as you read your Bible. You're reading your Bible while you're praying. And then you'll start praying while you read your Bible. It will mix God's words with your own words. Which are better when you're praying? Now, God loves it when you come when you pray from your heart. But you know, there's nothing wrong with reminding God of His words. He likes His words. Amen? You'll also find yourself paying more attention to the details as you're reading the Bible because you're looking for something that includes you. Like with Jonah, you see yourself. And it'll also guide your thinking. It will help you so that you come to God, you got all these things you want to talk to Him about, but then the Bible says only one thing is needful to talk to God right now. And it changes your prayer life. Now, is there any questions before we stop? Are there any questions? I hope this didn't go over your head. I hope this, and maybe it just sort of has got to filter down and soak deep down into your heart. But one of these days, you will appreciate the Word of God in your prayer time. Father, as we get ready for the Lord's Supper, I thank You for the Bible. You didn't just leave us and abandon us to try to figure out things on our own. You gave us a book that actually guides preaching, it guides living, and it guides praying. Now, we don't pray just reading the Bible, using the words of the Bible to pray. We actually personalize them. We learn from them. Lord, they were written for our admonition. They're to challenge us. And I pray that it motivates a lot of people to get answers to prayer. God, we need to be a praying people, not just to do the motions, but to get answers. Lord, teach us. As the disciples begged You, teach us to pray too. We love You, and I thank You for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.